In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. And today is the first full day of the President Obama administration, and I want to prophesy. This is prophetic. I want to prophesy. This is not a feeling. I want to prophesy. Okay, so this is prophetic. First thing, President Obama will sign the FOCA Act, of course, which will strike out all the inroads we made as pro-life people about abortion. That means parental consent, and his whole experience will go into infanticide. All right? This is real. Now, that's not prophecy, because I know that's going to happen. I know that with my knowledge, okay? That's knowledge. So I don't need a prophetic word for that, but that's what will happen. And it will be passed, okay? It will be passed. Now the prophecy comes like this. Then you watch the economy. You watch the economy. You watch that God will judge us in our pocketbooks. You watch. You cannot play around with God, because Obama is just the president. He is not the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let me tell you that Obama has a second in charge as a lawyer, the woman who was in charge of NARAL, the big abortion, national American rights for abortion, or legal abortion, whatever they call it. It's killing. Okay? So that's what's going to happen. What did you see yesterday with the stock market? Well, honey, I want you to all look down, because it's going south. God has begun to judge the church, and the church was judged in our pocketbook. We will continue to be judged. You know why? Because now we have all these prayers going up about FOCA, when we should have been saying something when he, President Obama, was the candidate, because we knew what he stood for. But because the church has no courage, no guts, no testicular fortitude, because it is not prophetic in the world, you know what that means? That means that everybody will suffer. Father Carapi says, the problem with the world is the priests. He says, because the priests don't do their job, that means everything falls in. That's real. We had a priest with us when we went to Trinidad, who's black priest, and he's a preacher, and he's wonderful, but he is all for Obama, all for Obama. Well, you know what? I don't vote because of a black skin or a white skin or a green skin, but I want to tell you, I was terribly offended yesterday when that black minister got up and said, the whites are going to get it rights. Like, who does he think he is? But you know what? You watch the economy, boys and girls. If you think things are bad now, hold on to your hats. Keep on watching the stock market and look down. It's going south. And the church will suffer also, because the church has not taken her prophetic role. You want to know why? I'm going to tell you. In the Old Testament, the Jews were being absorbed by the Greek culture. And if you read the book of Maccabees, you would see how absorbed they got by the Greek culture. Their men were asked to take off the signs of circumcision, which is the sign of the covenant that God made with Abraham, okay? And they did it because they wanted to join the world, and they wanted to go in their birthday suits to the gymnasia. This is real. You read it. It's in the book of Maccabees. And as a result, the Jews got literally absorbed into the culture. But God raised up, thank God, a remnant, and that remnant were the Maccabees, who found someone worth living for and someone worth dying for. They were like terrorists. That's what they were. But they won the game. They won the game. And they saved Judaism. Without the Maccabees, we would not have Judaism today. This is real. This is history. I'm telling you, the church has been absorbed by the culture. And without any testicular fortitude, without any prophetic stance that you make despite your tax-free number, you know what happens? We get more absorbed into the culture. And the FOCA bill will pass, the FOCA Act, F-O-C-A, yeah? That will become a law. When I saw the 2 million people in front of President Obama yesterday, I said 2 million duped. Duped. Today, he's already signed to let terrorists go out of Guantanamo Bay. Isn't that something? Let's shake hands with the Ayatollah. Let's shake hands with the terrorists. If your hands are open, we'll shake hands with you. If your hands are clenched, we'll have nothing to do with you. I'm going to tell you, my friends, you cannot shake hands with the terrorist. If you cannot trust the church, who is supposed to be Christian, I'm talking Catholic, Protestant, and Orthodox. I'm talking about the whole church. If you cannot trust the church, like in Connecticut, when someone says they have been raped, Catholic hospitals cannot give a test to see if they're pregnant. That's the law, which means they have to scrape or give the pill, whatever they're doing, okay? This Catholic hospital, if you cannot trust the church, who is supposed to be Catholic, Christian, how can you trust a terrorist? Like the Jews of old, we have been absorbed into the culture. I received a letter from a priest. I just want to tell you, this is the letter I received, saying that I told people that Cardinal O'Malley was not pro-life. Well, let me just tell you this. I'm going to tell you this. They lived in Brighton, all right? They lived in Brighton for years. They drove by. They drove by Commonwealth Avenue, the abortion mill, maybe 5 times a month. That's a few times. Planned Parenthood. It was just like they drove by. That's all. Just like they drove by. It would be like we have the German Nazi camp, and we know what's going on, and we just drive by. You know, we just drive by. It's fine. I have business to do today. We drive by. I do not hate Cardinal O'Malley. As a matter of fact, I care about him. But I'm going to tell you, he is responsible, as the Archbishop of Boston, for every person in the Archdiocese, Catholic, Protestant, atheist, Jewish. He is the pastor. And he will be held accountable, as I am held accountable. When you drive by Planned Parenthood, it would be like driving by Dachau. How can you do it? In all reality, how can you do it? How can you do it? This is real. I'm not angry with Cardinal O'Malley. The church has no courage, not only in Boston, throughout the country. There are a few bishops that do, but not many. And so, you know what? I speak prophetically. I don't speak with vengeance. You think I like to see my church crumble? This is my church. This is where I received my faith. You think I like to see that? But if the church does not respond, the world steps in. Nature abhors a vacuum. If the church does not respond, the world steps in. We started to pray about the FOCA Act after the horse is out of the barn, because it really makes us feel good. When he was the nominee, we should have started, because he told us what he was for. He said, and I quote, "If one of my girls got pregnant, it would not be right not to hold the truth that she is due an abortion." This is the abomination. So, watch the stock market, because God will not be mocked. What we sow is what we reap. I would love to go on O'Reilly, I tell you. I would love to go on O'Reilly and get the coverage of saying that's truth. I might lose my collar, but I would love to go on O'Reilly. What you sow is what you reap. And it breaks my heart. 2 million people duped. 2 million people duped. Do you know what that's going to mean, this FOCA Act? That Catholic hospitals will be forced to do abortions. Do you know what also it means? That people would have to work against their conscience. This is communism, not democracy. But you see, everything we do, my friends, has implications. What you sow is what you reap. This is an abomination in the Obamination. Very sad. And you know, I heard Laura Ingram today, or whatever her name is. She's more a preacher than the bishops. You should have heard her. More a preacher than the bishops. Watch what God's going to do, she said, because Obama is not God. Oh my. I said, this lady's prophetic. Watch what God's going to do. And I say, watch the stock market. The Jews of old, when it was Hellenized in Israel, Hellenized means Greek. That's why the New Testament is in Greek, because the language of the day was Koine Greek. So the New Testament is not in Hebrew, it's in Greek. It was the language of the day. It was the language to get the word out so that people would hear and read about the Lord Jesus, would know about Jesus, would know about his glory, his power, his death, his resurrection, his miracles. The church was not encultured and was not absorbed the little animal that takes on the colors of a chameleon. You know what a chameleon is? You put a chameleon on Glen plaid, it takes on the colors of the Glen plaid. The Jewish nation in the time before the Maccabees took on the color of the culture. There was no difference. Let me tell you this. The church has done the same thing. We are no more different than anybody else. I'm not saying better, but we should be different. But you know what? I will continue to preach it, and I will continue to have a broken heart that my church, the church of my childhood, of my faith, that I am a priest of the Roman Catholic Church and proud to be, has been absorbed by the culture. And you want to know why? My first talk on radio went something like this. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, and then to the Greek. 25 years ago and one day, that was my first talk. Because the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is not preached and people are not changed. It is the Word of God that changes people. It is the Word of God. I got a letter from the same priest that said, you know, you said the Mass doesn't change people. Well, I don't see our people being changed. Father, I want to just tell you about the Mass. The Mass is for believers. They need to be evangelized so that they can receive the Eucharist fruitfully. There's nobody in this diocese, in the little parish that I have, that doesn't have more Masses, because I believe in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. I believe in it. We have two Masses a day. We have big parishes, humongous parishes, only having one a day. They don't even do Mass on Saturday because they have a Saturday evening Mass. That's not us. I believe in the power of the blood. I believe in the power of the sacrifice of Calvary. I believe in the power of the Mass. I give my life for Jesus. But the Mass is for believers. It is not for unbelievers. And most of our people are unbelievers. You know why? They have not been evangelized. They have not come to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and the gospel has not been preached. I would like to ask you, Father, do you know what the gospel is? The content of the gospel is this, that Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was buried, and on the third day he rose from the dead. And let me tell you, there is power in that proclamation. There is great power in that proclamation. We were in Trinidad and Tobago, and I would like to tell you some of the things we saw in the proclamation of the gospel, okay? Has nothing to do with me and everything to do with the proclamation of the gospel. A young man came up. I will not tell you the circumstances because you don't need to know it, but he could barely walk. I knew the circumstances. 2 days later, we began to pray with him. His back started to straighten out. He couldn't walk up to the stage. He walked back without any help. And more than that, God touched him in his heart, because that's where he needed to be touched more than in his body. A woman came up that couldn't speak. And in the name of Jesus, we saw her speak in a second. A man came up with braces who needed an operation, and that would be the only thing that would fix him. And let me tell you this, my friends, one simple prayer, he was completely released, and the next day was without the brace. A woman with the brace on her neck immediately was released. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, and then to the Greek. Not only in healing, but in salvation. The Mass is for believers. People need to come into contact with Jesus Christ through the Word of God. That's why the liturgy presents the Word of God first, so that we can receive the Eucharist fruitfully, so that the Eucharist would change us. You see, the Eucharist is for believers. It is not for baptized pagans. And most of our people have been evangelized by the world and by Ms. Oprah and Mr. what's his name, Springdale or whatever his name is. Who knows? Jerry Springer. Yeah. That's who our people have been evangelized by. Not by the Holy Roman Catholic Church, because most people do not even know what the gospel is that are at the pulpit. You know what I said to my people on Sunday? I said, I do not have time to tell jokes. You want to know why? Because what I do up here is very serious. It is to change people's lives. I will tell jokes at my dinner table, but not at the altar of God. That is not the place for a joke. That doesn't mean we can't be humorous. That means that this is sacred. This is sacred. This table of the Word is sacred. Do you understand me? It is as sacred as the Eucharistic table. No, it is as sacred as the Eucharistic altar. I will not call it a table. It is an altar because a sacrifice takes place on that altar. I will not call it a table. It is an altar. And we have compromised in that too. In some of the prayers, we are at the table of the Lord. No, we are at the altar of the Lord. You want to know why? Because at the altar, there is a sacrifice. At a table, there is only a meal. I believe the Eucharist is a sacrifice and a meal, but a sacrifice first. And then we eat the lamb. But, you see, I just happen to be Catholic. You see, I happen to be Catholic. I am not Luther. I am not Zwingli. But I also am prophetic. Watch the church. We will eventually lose our tax-free number. Hallelujah. That's the best. Because maybe we'll depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ and not upon the princes of the church decked out in red shoes, but the princes of the church preaching the gospel in season and out of season, when convenient and inconvenient. That's what it's about. And so I am saddened that 2 million people on the green were duped. And how many more million were duped yesterday? But let me tell you this, I was not duped. I was not duped by this Obama nation. I was not duped. But I can tell you this much. I prayed more for this man than I pray for any other president so far. I will offer Mass for him tonight at the espousal. And I'm doing it for our sake, not for his. Because he is our president. And the way he goes will affect the nation and the world. This is not a light thing. This is a heavy burden. They can dance around with their white dress and their white shirt last night, and they can do twirly whirls and do what they need to do. But let me tell you, today, we've let go terrorists. Isn't that wonderful? And the Freedom of Choice Act will be signed, and God will respond. I'm going to be reading from the scriptures. I only have a couple of minutes. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Harden not your hearts as they did in Meribah and Massah in the desert. 40 years I endured that generation. I said, there are people whose hearts go astray, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest. If you hear his voice today, harden not your hearts. If what I have said today causes you to do anything, let it cause you to get on your knees to pray for the bishops and for President Obama. I never refer to Clinton as President Clinton, but I will refer to President Obama as President Obama. But I'm telling you, it is not a game. Right now, he's experiencing Palm Sunday. Hosanna to the Son. Wait till Good Friday comes. And it will come. That's prophetic. There will be a Good Friday for this poor man. And if he continues to do that which is evil, I will tell you, my friends, God will not be mocked. What we sow is what we reap. So, Father, I pray for this poor man. I pray in the name of Jesus, by the blood, that you would give him counsel from on high, even as you did to Nebuchadnezzar, the wicked king. Oh, Father, for the sake of the believers in our country and in our world, we pray in Jesus' name. Let me do tell you that Sunday at the Holy Rosary, we will be having a miracle service. Oh, yeah. We're going to start miracle services on Sunday. So this Sunday, there will be a miracle service at 7:30. We have been worshiping the Lord. Not too many people have been coming. But at our miracle services, we've been seeing so many people get healed. And you know what? Received a call today from a young girl who had epilepsy. And she talked to me that in 2.5 months, she's only taken 6 seizures. I wrote her a note, and I told her I was praying for her. And since that, she says her seizures have gone down. She started to take seizures at 13. I told her I started my seizures at 13, too. But I was healed through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Hallelujah. See, I'm Catholic. And I was healed because Jesus healed me through the intercession of his mother. Hallelujah. And so I have the power to say to people in the name of Jesus, people with epilepsy, be healed because God has healed me. I tell you, it's wonderful. She's coming to see us on Saturday. So this Sunday at 7:30, we will have a miracle service at the Holy Rosary. Tonight is Wednesday, and we will be back at the espousal retreat house. It's time to get back to espousal. It's time to worship the Lord. It's time to put on our dancing shoes because, my friends, we need to dance. Because, you know, if we dance, things are getting better.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.